opportunity. Curry, got it! Swishes home a three! The trained assassin!
The dagger that made the third quarter 16-point lead a distant memory. Dave Pasch and Doug Collins on the call for ESPN. Kind of cool that Patrick McCaw got the offensive rebound that led to Curry's dagger. Did I really start my Sunday morning talking about the basketball playoffs after I've been saying all season that I can hardly watch the ridiculously top-heavy NBA until maybe the finals? Because we already know the two teams that are going to be there. Yes, I did. And I just told you the reason. Well, good morning. And whether you're stationary or mobile, thanks for pulling up a seat. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line on Fox Sports Radio, 89.9 FM and 1340. It's 98.9 FM, right? Yeah, well, I got to get used to that, Mags. It's brand new. So you're right, 98.9 FM and 1340. And that's right, we are simulcast on both stations now. And that is here in Las Vegas. And we also are streaming live at the LVSportsNetwork.com. We are here live every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. And as almost always, I'm joined by future Hall of Fame producer, aspiring sports talk show host, and Lotus Broadcasting's soccer guru, Magnum. You can follow the show on Twitter at @OutOfLine1340 and check out, like, and follow the Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Today, we will talk a little NBA and NHL playoffs. I also really need to get this Aaron Hernandez stink off my chest. We'll be joined by my good friend Bernie Fratto, longtime sportscaster, talk show host, and personality. For the past 5 years, he has been the host of Rebel Extra, the UNLV basketball postgame show on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. Bernie is going to help us assess the new athletic director at UNLV. I'll bet Magnum's got something to say about that as well. Also coming on board for the Las Vegas 51s report today, one of my favorite people in town and one of the hardest working people I know, Jim Gemma, media relations director for the Las Vegas 51s. And while Jimmy here will be giving away, while he's here, we might as well be giving away a couple family four packs. So stick around for that. We will be giving some of those away. Again, the studio line 876-1340. An NBA player only a couple of years removed from being a running rebel is going to be this week's Blazin', believe it or not. True story. And if you're local and you plan on attending events at T-Mobile Arena, make sure you stick around for today's Fact This. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. That's right. They are always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. It really is that simple. And, you know, Mags, starting off today with the NBA, and I got to tell you, I watched the NBA last night only because I was listening to the radio. I'll get more into it in my Blazing, but I'm hearing a certain thing. So I got home and I turned it on and I ended up watching the Warriors play the Portland Trail Blazers. And it was, you know what it was like, Mags? I'm watching the game and the Warriors are just, you know, granted they're without Kevin Durant, but they are just cruising. It's like they're down 16 points in the third quarter. And I knew they were going to win the game. It didn't matter. They turned up the gas in the third quarter. Of course, Klay Thompson goes off in the third, Steph Curry in the fourth, and they win the game going away. They're up 3-0 on the Portland Trail Blazers. And I'll tell you what the bottom line is. Rip City was completely torn apart last night in Portland, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess you could say they had their hearts ripped out in Rip City. You know, unfortunately for Portland, they don't really have too many parts to help things work for the Blazers. And, you know, they had the big lead. And unfortunately, when you only have two guys that seem to be able to get the job done. And, you know, I thought Portland was a team a few years ago who were on the verge of becoming a player in the West. And they allowed Batum to walk. They made some questionable trades. And they've gone, I think it began and ended with losing LaMarcus Aldridge.
A gigantic loss, monumental loss.
And then they lost Batum.
Yeah. And they got a great backcourt. They have it. But that's it.
Well, the Nurkic kid's going to be pretty good, I think. But, you know, he's still fairly young. Yeah. And I thought the more intriguing matchup was Memphis and San Antonio. And,
oh.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard, to me, is you know, he's not going to get the MVP. But to me, I don't know. Outside of, and I obviously, I don't have a vote for MVP, but all I keep hearing is Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and I keep thinking to myself, you take Kawhi Leonard off San Antonio, and you take LeBron James off of Cleveland, and are those two teams even in the playoffs?
You know,
I don't even know if honestly, you take LeBron James off the Cavaliers, they're probably a bottom five or six team.
I would tend to agree with you. I think Kawhi Leonard is still a superstar in the National Basketball Association, and Kevin Love has a little bit of gas left in the tank, but you are right. You look at that team 3 years ago, and I say it all the time, LeBron James took the mighty Golden State Warriors to six games, and the second best player on the team was Matthew Dellavedova because Irving was hurt and Love was out, and it was him and Dellavedova, and they went, and J.R. Smith and a few other people, but the bottom line is they went six games with the Warriors because that is how good, and that's what I was going to say, Magnum. Great segue. The bottom line is if you take LeBron James after him, who is the face of the NBA? And the modern day best player in the world, there's no doubt, is LeBron. So when you take him off, who is it? Is it Durant? I mean, who are the elite superstars? Because the bottom line is last night you brought up a guy that is absolutely, to say an elite superstar, I got to start thinking you got to put him there. 43 points last night, Mag. And the bottom line is the coach of the opposing team, the team that beat them, the Memphis Grizzlies, he can't figure out how to guard Kawhi Leonard.
Honestly, I'm taking suggestions on how to guard Kawhi Leonard because I've tried everything, and the guy is just, he's tough. Man, is he a superstar.
Well, you know, David Fitzdale saying he's a superstar. I would agree with superstar. Would you say elite?
Yeah, he's been elite for a while, and, you know, he's learned from the best. As far as I'm concerned, Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA. He's arguably one of the top two or three coaches in the history of the NBA, Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson being in there as well. I think Popovich gets the nod for me over Phil Jackson, despite the fact that Phil's got a lot more rings. Greg Popovich is a builder. Phil Jackson's a guy who comes in and moves into the penthouse. And we're seeing in New York that Phil Jackson, obviously it's a different position, but his influence over the building of the team, not that great. Popovich, on the other hand, when San Antonio made that trade on draft night and they gave away George Hill for some kid out of San Diego State named Kawhi Leonard, my first thought was the Pacers got absolutely robbed. And I've been proven correct. Kawhi Leonard is an elite player.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't get the love that he deserves because he's kind of a quiet guy. He's not a guy who's going to go around, look at me, look at all the shots I'm getting. Hey, I got all these triple-doubles. Kawhi Leonard is a winner. He wants to win. He was a winner at San Diego State, and he's a winner at the San Antonio Spurs, and he's proving it again, despite the fact that that series is 2-2. I don't have any doubt that San Antonio is going to end up winning that series. It may go 7, and Memphis has given them fits in the past, but the Spurs are a better team. Memphis at home is a different team. Now they got to go back down the road to San Antonio. And I think you're asking the Grizzlies to win maybe 2 games on the road. It's not going to happen.
Marc Gasol is not going to hit another overtime game-winning fall-away jumper at the buzzer. That is completely a rarity. But Kawhi Leonard, you know, the numbers are staggering, Mags. Not only the 43 points, which is the third highest total in a playoff game in San Antonio history, and it's pretty obvious who has the other two. The Iceman, George Gervin, has the other two higher games than Kawhi Leonard did last night. But to this point, the series right now is 2-2. They've played 4 games, right? Kawhi Leonard is 40 of 40 from the free throw line, from the charity stripe. Now, that might not just knock your socks off. That is hard to do. I am sorry. 40 for 40. And in last night's game, at one point, Mags, he scored from the five-minute point to the end of the game. They were getting beaten soundly by the Grizzlies in regulation. And Kawhi Leonard scored the last 16 points, but 16 points in a row. This guy is truly ridiculous. Yeah, I'm going to go with you there and say that he is a superstar. I was going to talk a little bit more. Blake Griffin hurt again. The Clippers again are going to have a problem. Griffin will be gone next year. Paul will probably be gone. This team, Doc Rivers is just snake bit, man. That's all there is to it. I'm blown away that now they lose Blake Griffin as well. That team just cannot get past this overall hump. But what I wanted to ask you, Mags, and real quickly, because I want to get into hockey, there's other things too, but, you know, with the NBA right now, and you see LeBron James, and on Thursday night when I watched them play the Pacers, would you agree with me that Paul George is, say, a top 11 player in the NBA?
I think Paul George is very overrated.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing. I'm saying, but his overall skills, top 15, come on.
Skill-wise, yes. Okay. Translating it to the floor, different story.
I understand, but I could
find 11 or 15 guys who I think are better players in the NBA.
And I might take him as well, but my point was, I watched Paul George, who is not a terrible defensive basketball player, absolutely just want no part of LeBron James the last four minutes of that game. LeBron James took over and showed why, when he decides to be the best player in the National Basketball Association, nobody can play with him. And my point is other elite players, what other guys in history in any sport that you can think of where you have elite players that are scared of one player in their sport? Like, for instance, I would say Tiger Woods would be a good example in his prime. I mean, the best players in the game at the time, David Duval, Sergio Garcia, and even Phil Mickelson crapped their pants on Sunday when they had to play with Tiger Woods. So Michael Jordan, were his people scared of him a little bit? I don't know, but you know, one of the guys I was thinking of, Mags, was Muhammad Ali. And I thought, was Muhammad Ali one of those guys that his peers were scared of? And I really don't think so. I don't think Kenny Norton Jr. or Kenny Norton Sr., I should say, Joe Frazier, I don't think they were intimidated by Muhammad Ali. They wanted to fight him and they felt they could beat him. But
Mike Tyson, on the other hand.
I was just going to say Mike Tyson was completely. See, Muhammad Ali wanted to beat the hell out of you. Mike Tyson wanted to kill you.
Yeah.
Huge difference. And guys like that, there's not many of them. LeBron James is one of those guys that he intimidates players that are one tier below him, because there's nobody on his level one tier below him. And I want to fly through this. We got a caller right now, don't we, Mags? We have somebody on the phone. Who's on the phone with us?
George.
Hey, George, what's going on, man?
Hey, Brian. George, first-time caller. Just had three questions for you and then a request. First of all, I'm an Oklahoma Sooners fan. A little bit embarrassed by this whole Joe Mixon thing. I want to get your take on what's going on with this, quote, apology, unquote. Second thing, what happened to your Red Wings? I think Nirvana was relevant the last time the Red Wings missed the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty much.
And third, I really enjoyed listening to you over the last few weeks. You want any other shows during the week? And a request, you can have that crazy guy dreadlocks on anytime again soon. Whatever happened to him?
We'll get him on again soon. God knows he's traveling around the country somewhere, hooking up superstars with his special product. But to answer your questions, first and foremost, George, I got to tell you, with Joe Mixon, I'm a little appalled by this whole thing. The bottom line is, the guy just, you know, we're a week away from the NFL draft. This happened in, what, 2 years ago? And just now, 3 years ago, I think it was 2014, actually. So, like, 3 years ago. The guy just now settles this situation with Amelia Molitor, right? Just settles. First of all, my question is, where did he get the money to settle with anyone? He hasn't been drafted in the NFL yet. That'd be my first question. But the next question would be, how much did it take you, Amelia, to say that when Joe Mixon looked at you in the eyes, you believed that he felt that he was sorry? You know, I'm not going to... Mags, this drives me insane. You know damn well that it was at least mid five figures to six figures that all of a sudden made Joe Mixon's apology acceptable, right?
Well, I don't know the details of the quote-unquote settlement, but, you know, she took a pretty good punch to the face. And,
a big punch to the face. I mean,
my honest opinion is the guy's lucky he's not in jail. And here we are talking about him possibly being drafted at the end of the first round.
Rated. I know he's off some people's lists, but he's a fourth rated running back right now, Mags.
Yeah, and to me, I'm disgusted by it because to me, what he did is despicable. It's inexcusable. And regardless,
a woman in the face.
And he,
I mean, what more needs to be said than
that? And I've seen people defend him by saying she pushed him or she wouldn't back down. At the end of the day, those same people who were defending Joe Mixon, if they did the same thing to a woman in a restaurant or a bar or McDonald's or whatever, because they're not Joe Mixon and they don't have a future in the NFL, they'd be going to prison and defend that.
Yeah.
Because it's a disgusting, horrible situation. Where a guy, and listen, we all get angry at our girlfriends, our significant others, or whatever, but we all have restraint. You know, and to cold cock a woman, for whatever reason, she didn't pull a gun out on you. She didn't hit him low. She was angry about him making a gay slur towards one of her friends. And she had, and unfortunately, not enough people are willing to stand up.
And even so, it was words.
Yeah.
It was words.
And she did not back down, and she let him know what a piece of garbage he was. And I guess Joe Mixon, being the punk that he is, couldn't handle it.
Yeah. And he's sorry. He's really, really sorry.
Sorry because that's what the teams that are looking to draft him want to hear. Yeah.
Peter Schaefer, how much money do you think? You think Peter Schaefer shelled out about $100,000 to get him? Peter Schaefer, by the way, is Joe Mixon's agent. He'll be his agent heading into the NFL. My guess is Peter Mixon pulled out $100,000, figuring, you know what? There's a pretty good idea, Mags, that he's going to get paid back. I would say he's not too worried about his cash right now. Mixon will make it in the NFL, provided he doesn't beat up any more women. He'll make it because he's got skills. He's got mad skills on a football field, untapped skills, and we're going to see him. And, of course, Bob Stoops at Oklahoma stood behind him. I mean, it's appalling. And so back to George's question, that's my opinion on that. And the other thing I wanted to say regarding the Red Wings, yeah, Mags, it's been since 1990 since the Detroit Red Wings have missed the playoffs, man. I mean, there is not one player, I believe, on the Red Wings team that was even in the National Hockey League the last time they missed the playoffs. Matter of fact, that I know for a fact there's no one. Pretty crazy. Listen, we'll talk more a little bit about hockey later on if we get to. I definitely want to get to Aaron Hernandez, but we got to go to break. We got Bernie Fratto on the other side, and we are going to talk a little bit of UNLV-AD, the Satellite.
Las Vegas is iconic in America and around the globe. Whatever it touches, it makes it bigger and it makes it grander. That's what I think we all want for UNLV athletics. After first meeting with President Jessup and through our series of conversations, I became so impressed with his character and his vision for UNLV athletics. He wants us to be the model intercollegiate athletic program, and I am so excited in partnering with him in achieving that. He wants to see athletics done the right way, and I'm looking forward to building on the foundation that my predecessors, including most recently Tina Kunzer-Murphy, and many folks in this room have helped to establish. To our UNLV community, we are going to accomplish great things together. And I say together because that's the only way we can do things. That's the only way we can take this momentum and inspire a championship culture. We'll do things the right way. We're going to build a department that leads the Mountain West academically, athletically, and administratively. We'll create an environment for our coaches and our staff and our student athletes to be successful, an environment where all of our decisions are made with our best interest of our student athletes.
Joining the show now, longtime radio sports talk show and personality, host here in Las Vegas. He is the host and my partner on Rebel Extra this past year, UNLV basketball postgame show on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM. And we just heard the new athletic director at UNLV, Desiree Reed Francois. Bernie, I know I want to have him on the show, and this is number one. This does affect us in a way because she will be affecting UNLV basketball, football, all of the athletics over there. And I know you. You study up on everybody. So first, welcome to the show, and let me know what you think.
Well, I was at the press conference, and it was only about 25 minutes long. But this is a pivotal time in the history of UNLV as a university, and certainly with respect to its athletic department. And somehow the lead always manages to get buried. 10 years ago, to the month, I believe, at least my research shows, that the athletic department had a $9.2 million surplus. Now it's currently got a $5 million deficit. So I think the most pressing need is to turn the department around so that it can begin to make money. Let's not kid ourselves here. College basketball is synonymous, or excuse, college athletics is synonymous with big business now. That's number one. Number two, obviously, it's got to be amongst the charter and the mission to get the football team winning again and the basketball team winning again. And that goes hand in hand with the revenue returning to UNLV athletics in addition to fundraising, which I'll get to in a minute. But let's talk about Desiree Reed Francois. She's coming over to us from Virginia Tech, where she was the deputy athletic director. She's a native of Fremont, California, UCLA graduate in 1994. She played, she was a rower. She was an athlete. She's got a law degree. She's done some work with the Raiders, been with Fresno State, had a lot of opportunities in the last 15 years. So at the end of the day here, her success, this is not a subjective analysis. It's an objective analysis. If 2 years from now we're not moving the needle and the department is not making money and the teams are not winning, there will be a narrative. If the opposite is happening, there will be a different narrative. So at this point, you sit back, wait, and see. I thought she did a relatively good job at the press conference, short on specifics, long on enthusiasm and expectations. She's got the job. Let's see what she does with it.
Fair enough. I sat listening to the press conference, and to me, Bernie, it was like listening to Charlie Brown's teacher, to be honest with you, because it's all politically correct stuff. I said to Magnum before the show, as we listened to it, that I could have written that speech. I mean, it was written, it was rehearsed, and not that I'm putting her down in any way. That's what everybody does. But it was what we. There's nothing she said that I didn't expect her to say, and that there's not a problem with it. But we will see. Like you said, the jury's out. The part that bothered me, and I kind of played it a little bit, is going overboard, being politically correct, talking about how great Len Jessup is. I don't even think the guy's going to be her boss for very much longer. So, you know, and then we're going to continue to build on what Tina Murphy's did. All good stuff, Bernie, but to me, like I said, very, very generic. And again, I'm not putting her down for it, but the proof's going to be in the pudding, just as you said.
Well, here's the situation, Brian, and we all know, I've sat through a million of these in Detroit. From Rod Marinelli to Steve Mariucci to Larry Brown to Scotty Bowman. And you walk away with a sense that when someone gets before the podium and addresses a group and they introduce themselves and what their mission is, I look for one thing. In this dog hunt, can they do the job? Meaning, so when Scotty Bowman comes to the Red Wings, can he win a Stanley Cup? That's what they want. When Larry Brown comes to the Pistons, can they win an NBA championship? And I will tell you, when I walked away from press conferences where the coaches had success 3 years ago, and ended up ultimately proving that success in Detroit by delivering, I walked away saying, they've done this before. They have done this before. So here's where what raised an eyebrow for me were the final two questions. Mark Anderson asked a very good question. He said, what is your philosophy on fundraising? Get a chance. Go back and listen to the press conference. It's all there. Listen to her answer. I don't believe she answered it directly. And I would have liked to have heard more specifics or what her ideological purpose is or how she plans to get into the community and get people to write checks to the university that haven't before. The fifth question Amber Dixon asked, what do you think the most pressing issue facing UNLV athletics is? And her answer, I thought, was very cryptic. It was, well, you know, my priority is to get to know all the families, and we're going to have fun, and I'm going to get to know you personally and what your goals are. And, you know, do you like long walks on the beach? And is your color purple? How do you feel about the designated hitter? Did Lee Harvey Oswald act alone? I'm like, wait a minute. You were asked what's the most pressing issue. We all know the pressing issue. They're upside down monetarily. Having said that, she beat out a lot of qualified candidates. I'm an open-minded guy, and I'm an optimist. Let's give her a chance. I'm only saying for myself, having sat through a million of these press conferences going back 25 years, this to me, I wouldn't rate near the top in terms of walking away saying, hey, she's done this before. So she's not trying to get someplace she's never been. She's just going back to where she was before and taking us along with her. I did not walk away with that feeling. Now, I'm hoping she proves me wrong, because you know what a fan I am of this university.
No doubt about it. I'm a huge fan also. And, you know, there were certain things that would impress me. You know, she mentioned a lot of names and mentors that she had. And one of them that I have always had a great deal of respect for, a woman that passed away a little bit ago, but I thought she was a tremendous coach in Pat Summitt at Tennessee. And she said she had an influence on her life. And that excites me a little bit, because that was a proven true winner. So that is somebody that can. But again, like you said, the jury's completely out. I don't know very much about her, and I am going to remain cautiously optimistic and hope that everything goes well. It just, I wasn't super enchanted like yourself with the press conference. Bernie, real quick, last night, and I'm going to be talking about this a little more. I don't know how much you watched of the NBA last night, but how cool was it to see Pat McCaw out there in crunch time, even though, you know Golden State's going to run away with this series. But I thought, you know, what was really nice for me, and I've got it on tape, and I'm going to play it next week. When Pat McCaw was a freshman, after about the fourth game here at UNLV, I said in 3 years, that guy's going to be the best pro prospect on this team. And I said it right here on my show. And I love it, because you just could see with his length and his basketball IQ, something that we don't talk a great deal about, but Pat McCaw has a great basketball IQ, something that I think is key and something we need to see more of here at UNLV.
Well, he certainly understands the framework of the game. He's a son of a coach. He's 6'7" with length. He's sneaky athletic. He caught Jerry West's eye because of his ability to always be in the right place. He can defend three different positions. He's an unbelievably talented role player on this team who provides a specific deliverable, and his ability to be a part of the Golden State's defense, which this is an organization that has the best defensive chemistry in all of the NBA. They're actually much better defensively when Kevin Durant's not on the floor. Nothing against Kevin Durant. So last summer in the Summer League, I remember talking to Golden State executives there, and they related to me the conversations Jerry West had with Patrick McCaw and where they thought he was projectable. You just saw last night, 9 months later, exactly what they were projecting, and his ability to be in the right place at the right time and get the rebound, make the stop, come up with the steal, find the open teammate, knock down a shot, drive to the rim, draw contact, make free throws. Whatever the situation demands, Patrick McCaw seems to be Johnny on the spot. He's going to have a very long, productive NBA career.
I agree with that 100%. I think he fits right into their chemistry. It was so nice. At one point in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, I saw on the sidelines Steph Curry talking to Patrick McCaw and educating him, and it just looks like he fits right in. And he was a good guy here. One of my favorite interviews, just very, very cordial, very approachable, just a good guy. But last night, like that Golden State team, and I talked about it a little earlier, it was amazing. I'm watching the game, and I listened to it on the radio. I was coming home from a fundraiser, and then I got home about the beginning of the third quarter, and I'm sitting there, they're down 16, and I said to myself, they're going to win. I'm not even worried about it. Even without Durant, they're going to win this game. And next thing I know, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, they decide to start playing basketball. They're playing defense. They're putting pressure on the ball, creating turnovers. They're setting ball screens on offense and crashing the boards at both ends of the floor like they do. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry do what they do, and next thing you know, Golden State's up 3-0. Methodical and predictable, but, you know, with Patrick McCaw on the floor, it made it entertaining for me last night.
Yeah, you know, Golden State's pretty good, aren't they? By the way, one last thought. 30 years ago now, Michigan State had a player by the name of Steve Smith. And Steve, you know, threw under Jed Heathcoat and got to know Tom Izzo, did great things at Michigan State, and then had a fabulous career in the NBA, most notably with the Atlanta Hawks. And he's a solid citizen, and you can now see him, I believe he's doing broadcasts for one of the networks. In a heartfelt moment, he truly understood the ideological purpose behind what Michigan State did for him, and he wrote a $10 million check to the university. You know what would be cool? If people like Desiree Reed Francois can get to Patrick McCaw someday and said, "We're applauding your success. Could you help this university subsidize future successful people like you, and maybe get people like Patrick McCaw to write a check?" Maybe that can happen.
I'm scared that Patrick McCaw would say, "Why don't you give Dave Race a call and see what he thinks?" So,
that's a whole other show. A whole other show.
Listen, he's Bernie Fratto, host of Rebel Extra during the UNLV basketball season. You hear him on shows all the time here. Hardest working, most underappreciated guy, in my opinion, in this state. Me and Magnum were talking about it before he came on. I don't know of a more intelligent, more eloquent speaking sportscaster in our town than Bernie Fratto. Honored to have you on the show again, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and say hello to Magnum as well. And you guys want to be my agents? I'm just curious. What are you doing after this?
Hey, we'll talk. We'll have lunch, Bernie. We'll have lunch, my friend. I appreciate you coming on. Listen, we are going to take a real quick break. We'll come back on the other side with Jim Gemma, media relations director for the Las Vegas 51s, and our 51s report. We still got Blazin'. We still got Fact This. I'm Brian. He's Magnum. This is Out of Line.
Breaking ball, line driving to left field for a base hit. Tyrone being waved in. Here he comes, and Williamson's throw goes into second base. Tyrone scores, and Las Vegas takes a 3-2 lead on a clutch two-out, two-strike single to left by Phillip Evans.
That was last night. Sacramento River Cats, the AAA franchise of the San Francisco Giants, taking on our 51s, AAA franchise of the New York Mets, 3-2. Phillip Evans knocks in Travis Tyrone to win the game. Joining us now, director of media relations, a good friend of mine, a good friend of all of us here in Las Vegas. If you're out and about in the media, you definitely know this guy, the hardest working guy in Las Vegas. Hey, Jimmy Gemma, what's going on, my friend?
Brian, thanks for having me on. Hope all is well.
Oh, all is great. And 51s playing all summer, some of the best promotions in town right now, playing some decent ball, players going up and down. Paul Sewald finally got his first call ever to the majors this year, which I was really excited to see. I know he's back down now, but it was great to see him get a taste. What can we expect and what's coming up?
Well, yeah, speaking of Paul Sewald, he's a really good pitcher, but you know, folks in the media have had an opportunity to talk to this guy. He's one of the most media-savvy athletes I've ever been around. He's a terrific person, and it was so great to see him. He's on the 40-man roster now, so that's great for him. He came in last night and struck out the side in the ninth inning, so to pick up his third save. So Paul's an excellent representative of Las Vegas, as well as Jason Bradford. It's really kind of neat. It's really cool having two players from Las Vegas on your local team here.
Oh, it really is. I'm pulling for both of them. I've spoken with them both several times. And just as you mentioned, they're both got kids that were obviously raised right. Great manners, very approachable. And what I love is, like you said, these are Las Vegas natives and more players coming from Las Vegas to represent this town. It is awesome. We've already got two of the best in the game up in the bigs in the National League right now and would love to see these guys get up. And there's no question Paul Sewald's got a live enough arm to play in the major league level. It's just we're talking about a New York Mets team that is stacked when it comes to their battery. Jimmy, what are some things coming up in the near future at Cashman?
Yeah, I'd also like to mention Joey Gallo also.
Oh, of course.
He was here last year with Round Rock and couldn't have been nicer to us, did a little media thing. And the talent is incredible here in Las Vegas. After the next couple days here, the teams in Sacramento, first scheduled off day is Wednesday. But then the team will come back for a nine-game homestand. A five-game series against Albuquerque, and then a four-game series against Tacoma goes into the first week of May already. But this Thursday will be, I believe, our second Budweiser Dollar Beer Night. And then this coming Friday is at 7:05, and we have fireworks show every Friday, but this is something that just went crazy last year. It's our second Star Wars night, and so we had 11,000 people last year for that. So if people want to come, they better purchase their tickets now. And then all
the games
are
coming. That's next Friday, you're saying?
Yeah, this Friday, the 28th, you know, we'll have our post-game fireworks show, but this Star Wars night, a lot of teams do it now in the major leagues and the minor leagues, and we had like 11,000 people last year, so we're expecting a big crowd, which is always a good thing. And then this coming Saturday will be our first kind of theme night for our 35th season celebration. It'll be 1983 Las Vegas Stars throwback jersey night to the first 2,500 fans through the gate. So we have a lot of promotions this coming homestand.
Oh, that's all. You guys have great promotions. And the firework night, even aside from the Star Wars night, which is going to be phenomenal, I tell people all the time, the firework display rivals and beats Disneyland, which I think as a kid growing up and all of us that have visited the Walt Disney theme parks, you look forward to the fireworks at night. Yours blow them away. They're way longer. I mean, by the time the 51's fireworks end, people, you're ready for them to end. They go that long. It's amazing. It's a great display. And there is... I'll tell you what, one of the best economic nights you can have in Vegas is to go out and check out a 51's game. It's a great time.
Well, even mentioned our fireworks next to Disneyland. I know exactly what you're talking about. We definitely know how to shoot fireworks off. There's no question about that. Lannis does a great job. They're incredible. And, we're happy here in town because we're in the professional sports that the NHL is coming and, eventually the NFL is going to come, but those are very expensive options, those two major league sports, but it's great for Las Vegas. We're always going to have our niche here. Our low-end ticket is $11. We're still cheaper than a movie. And, we're really into the, just like Nashville now. Nashville's got the NFL, the NHL, and AAA baseball. So it thrives. And, this PCL and AAA baseball is it is always going to have its niche, and for the people who think the Oakland A's are coming anytime soon, they better just kind of cool their jets on that. So,
right?
So,
slow down in that. But I'll tell you, you're 100% right. Going down to the ballpark and how much fun it is down there. You're watching future major leaguers, and not only that, you get to watch players rehab. I remember Jimmy coming down to the park against the very same Sacramento River Cats. I think it was the year before last, and I got to watch Angel Pagan play baseball from 5 feet away from me. These are the opportunities you get at Cashman Field that you are not going to get at the major league level.
Well, yeah, and exactly. And like, it's been 5 weeks now, but the Cubs were here 5 weeks ago today, and you're really up close to, Chris Bryant sitting there on the rail, signing autographs. So, you're really close to the action. And, yeah, you never know who you're going to see, even on the other side, who's rehabbing or even the top prospects coming in this weekend for the Colorado Rockies. And then the following weekend, Tacoma's here from May 2nd to the 5th with the Seattle Mariners.
Always a great time. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director, Las Vegas 51's, our Las Vegas 51's report every week right here. Jimmy, we appreciate you, and I'll see you at the ballpark next week.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Oh, my pleasure. That is Jim Gemma again, Media Relations Director, Las Vegas 51's, and time for Blazin', isn't it?
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango, Montecito Crossing Plaza, stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day. No place in America better for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, during football season, I am there every Monday night giving away replica jerseys, giving away free wings, wing parties, hats, T-shirts, pennants, you name it, we've got it all. They even had Super Bowl programs this year at the Super Bowl, and the most awesome Super Bowl leather jacket you've ever seen. That's Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango. And again, it is Blazin'. Well, my Blazin' is easy, and here is what it entails and stems from.
Traded by the Bucks to the Warriors for cash on draft night. 21 years old, spent 2 years at UNLV. Started for Kevin Durant, game two after playing 23 seconds in game one.
He had double figures last night, and he played in the final minutes, and he is the one that snagged the rebound, dished it off. It ended up in Steph Curry's hands. Steph Curry buried a shot with under 50 seconds to go to put Golden State up seven, and that really was the dagger that ended the Portland Trail Blazers night. And, hey, Patrick McCaw, ex-UNLV basketball player, you are blazing. What do you got for me, Mags?
Well, I'm also going to keep it local, and I was very fortunate enough a couple weeks ago to be able to go see opening day at Nationals Ballpark in Washington, D.C. Got to see our local guy, Bryce Harper, hit a home run. But how about the start to the season? Bryce Harper's having MVP numbers to start. He's hitting almost 400, 17 games into the season, 7 home runs, 20 RBIs. His slugging percentage is phenomenal. He's having a great start to the year. He was a little injured last year, so things went a little south. Not quite the season he was hoping. But so far, Bryce Harper looking like a real MVP candidate to win his second National League MVP. Of course, we still got a long ways to go, but Bryce Harper, when he's healthy, it's hard to argue with him not being one of the best two or three players in the game.
Oh, he absolutely is, and he's always blazing. Last year, he tailed off a great deal after the All-Star break, which was kind of surprising, but you can see he worked extremely hard in the offseason this year to start this season like he did 2 years ago, and you're 100% right, Mags. There will be nobody surprised in this room or anywhere if Bryce Harper ends up as a National League MVP again this year. I mean, you know he's going to play in the All-Star game. The power. And, you know, it's uncanny. His batting eye is uncanny when he's on. I say the same thing about Mike Trout of the Angels, but Bryce Harper, just like Trout, can also play the field. These guys, it is amazing. The modern-day athlete is absolutely a freak, and Bryce Harper is one of those guys. Well, it is time now for another segment that I like here called Fact This. Parking at MGM Properties sucks. Okay, that's a fact. And the bottom line is they are charging locals now to park. It is ridiculous. I can maybe understand New York, New York, and maybe the Monte Carlo setting up special parking areas for events at T-Mobile Arena. You can't let everyone, the places would be overwhelmed. I kind of get that. But they're charging you at MGM. They're charging you at Mandalay Bay. They're charging you at Excalibur, for God's sakes, at the Luxor. It's too much, people. It's crap. And so this is what you can do. And my suggestion, you can get dropped off and picked up. There's Uber and Lyft. Depending on where you're coming from, you'll probably pay way less to park when you take those down there. Or you can find an alternative place to park, but it will more than likely involve a lot of walking. Mags, I don't mind the walking. You know where I park. I know where I park. But I'm not telling you, people. You got to figure out on your own because I don't want you taking my parking spot. I'm just telling you that it sucks. And I understand maybe it's a way of getting taxes, but Mags, they shouldn't charge the locals, period.
Well,
man.
You know, I agree. You know, for special events, I don't mind paying the park. I mean, that's standard in almost every city. I mean, I went to a New York Jets preseason football game a couple years ago. Preseason. They were charging $50 and $100 to park. To park! $50 and $100. My issue is getting out of the parking garage. Because whatever setup they have, they need to fix it. Because I went a couple weeks ago to a concert, I won't say where, with a friend of mine and Sabrina, who also does a show over on our sister station. But getting out of the parking garage, the machine broke. So we had to wait 15 to 20 minutes while they fixed the machine. Then they gave us a hard time about not wanting to pay. I agree. They got to fix it. Something's got to change.
It just does. It's not right. And I understand, like I said, it'll be overcrowded on event days, but figure something out. Have a special area of the parking lot that for people that don't want to walk far, VIP parking, something, but it is a crime to start charging local people to come to the strip. I think it's terrible and it's disgusting. Listen, Mags, I know we're running really low on time here. I wanted to bring up Aaron Hernandez real quick because I am sick and tired tired of everybody pussyfooting around the story about this guy. You read about him, they write the truth in the paper, but you know what? He committed suicide last week. We all know what they found him hanging from his jail cell. The bottom line is, what are we pussyfooting around this? This guy is a murderer, was a murderer. The only difference between him and his victims is they are probably in a different place. Man, what are we, you know what, Mags? The bottom line is, everyone's like, well, why did he kill himself? Maybe because he saw his daughter and he realized the realization that he'll never, ever get to spend time with her or watch her grow up. That's one of them. The other speculation is he was bisexual and he didn't want, you know what? The bottom line is, he went into prison as a tight end and he went out the other night as a wide receiver. And if you don't like it, deal with it. Because the bottom line is, why would you take yourself out in prison? Because can you imagine a pretty boy like Aaron Hernandez in prison? What was going on with that guy? Not surprised. Hey, bye and good riddance. I don't feel bad for this. We're out of time. We're out of line. I'm Brian. Thanks, Magnum. Thanks, Bernie. Thanks, Jim Gemma. Next week, 8 to 9, we'll be here.